Hello and welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. I'm Harry Thompson, the editor of USA Hockey Magazine. Recently, we've been taking a look at the American development model and the various components of this revolutionary program. Today, we're going to veer off a little bit. We're going to be talking with Kevin Erlenbaugh, who is the director of membership development here at USA Hockey, and the great things that his department is doing to help grow the game of hockey here in the United States. Kevin, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Harry. Glad to be here.
You know, I wanted to keep along the lines with talking about the American development model. I know that the membership development department has came along around the same time as the ADM. How do you guys work together to not only to grow the game, but also to improve the experience for kids playing hockey?
You know, we work really closely together. You know, the whole ADM staff and in our group in membership development, you know, we work with a lot of the same contacts, the administrators of local youth hockey clubs, but we always joke that membership development's the quantity people, so increasing those numbers, while ADM is quality, and you can't have one without the other. So our best, you know, when we talk about growth, we talk about both new players we're bringing to the game and players that we're keeping, the retained players, to hit that total, just not one or the other. And our best retention tool is the American development model. What we found is that once the ADM is in place and you have a better quality program in place, you keep more kids on the ice. You know, the funny part is, and it's showing in our numbers, is that the last 5 years in a row, we've had retention growth every year, and which has never happened in USA Hockey. So to have retention growth every year, especially because the last 2 years, we've been a little down in our new numbers, to keep growing with retain when you have less players to draw from shows what an age-appropriate quality program like the ADM is doing for us. You know, and another thing we follow to show how important the American development model is to growth is we track kind of like a churn rate or the percentage of kids that play within USA Hockey that are making it to squirts or 9 years old. Because once they make it to 9 years old, we know we pretty much have a hockey player. And just in the last 3 years, since a lot of programs have been implementing the ADM, that number has gone up by 6% already. Which 6% sounds like a small number, but that is quite significant when you think about the amount of kids out there and 6% times that number going into squirt hockey.
I know that as you continue to work and create programs to add new kids to the game, rinks aren't growing as fast as your numbers are. So how important is it that, you know, when with the ADM they're running these station-based practices, good quality practices, you're able to get a lot more kids on the ice? How important is that to your overall efforts?
Well, it's giant because it just opens up more room on the ice to put more kids out there. And two of the biggest things that I think scare parents away is cost commitment. Now, when you can put 40, 50, 60 kids on the ice, that cost per touch goes down per kid and it becomes a cheaper program. And it's a little, you know, it cuts down that commitment level because, you know, there's a difference between if your ice touch costs $15 versus $5, if that parent can do other sports, not feel like they just lost $20 out of their pocket. They lost $5 if they decided to have their kid finish up soccer. And at the same time, you know, when you're worrying about one team of kids on the ice and one team of, let's say, 12 kids, you're missing one or two kids, that's significant to your practice plans and what you operate out there. And there's some more stress from the coach or the administrator to have all the kids on the ice at once. And now, you know, when you are worrying about skills and you have 40, 50, 60 kids out there, you can miss some of those other kids so they can do other sports, not put that pressure or commitment on them.
Well, we're heading into the 2013-2014 season. How are the registration numbers looking? I know it's really early in the whole season, but do you have any kind of sense of how some of your efforts are really bearing fruit and getting more kids to play hockey?
Yeah, so all of our efforts that we do for growth is focused at the 8 and under level. The reason we do that is that when we drill down to it, almost all of our kids that are new to the sport come in at the 8 and under level, and almost all of them that leave, the highest turnover rate is at the 8 and under level. So we knew by maximizing that pool and trying to maximize the amount of new players and keeping the max amount of players in that pool, later on they'll graduate on to older levels and grow youth hockey overall. So far it's been great. We're 5 years into membership development, came about the same time as the ADM, and we're over 12% growth at the 8 and under level, which is pretty significant when you think about, you know, USA Hockey's been around for, this is our 77th season now, and to grow over 12% with a pretty mature product such as that is huge. Last year, we were down a little bit. We did have retention growth, but new players were down. We kind of knew that was going to happen. Our best partner in promoting the sport as a National Hockey League, and they did have that lockout for a while, but they came back so strong now. And with the Olympics coming up, we're actually on track now. We're ahead of pace. You know, I don't want to get ahead of myself. It's September, but numbers looking great, and you know, we're on track to have one of our top years ever.
One of the best things that you guys have created, at least in my opinion, is you do some programs called Try Hockey for Free, which obviously is a great opportunity for parents and kids to come on out and, you know, and give it a try, and you know, without a big cost commitment. I know you have the first ones coming up in early November. Can you talk just a little bit about these Try Hockey for Free days that you do and what kind of buy-in you get from associations around the country?
Yeah, you know, when our department first started, it was just an idea we played around with. So it started out just at one rink, actually in Denver, the Try Hockey for Free. And over time, we built up to cities, NHL markets. Then we started doing by affiliates or statewide and then by full districts. And now we've come into a couple seasons here of doing the national Try Hockey for Free days. What we found is that, once again, to fight that stigma that hockey's expensive and a big commitment, we take those two things out of the equation and make it as easy as possible for a parent to take their child to a rink, don't have to have equipment ready to go, equipment's provided, get them on the ice, have them learn from some of our top coaches that are well-trained, and for them to see for themselves that, you know what, I get why youth hockey is such a quality product, and I do want that for my child. You know, what we're expecting now is this coming year, we have our first one November 2nd. The reason we do it November 2nd, we get the question, why don't you do it in September or October when programs are getting started? You know, we help our programs that do want to do a Try Hockey at the beginning of the year. That's great to get people started and on the ice that have an interest in youth hockey. We've played around some time frames, and we found that that top first week of November works the best. And what's helped drive our growth is that it's great for grabbing those parents who've never thought of youth hockey before. We're doing a pretty good job of getting the parents that have an interest. But what November 2nd does is grabs all those parents who now they have a child in that 8 and under category that's finished their fall sports or fall activities, you know, whatever it may be for that little boy or girl. And we bring them into the rink and say, hey, you know, try this out. I know you're finished. You can jump in here. And if you want to use this as your winter activity, we're here for you. So that's been our best proponent for getting new kids on the ice. Our second one is March 1st, which we Hockey Weekend across America. And the reason we're doing March 1st is that it follows up to the Olympics and some of that boom and helps drive some kids at least into some spring programs if they want to do a learn to skate or learn to play. And if anything else, you know, that comes out of it, it gives our associations a nice list of leads going into next fall of people that have shown an interest in their program in youth hockey.
You know, that's an excellent point and an excellent program for the recruitment of new players, but I know that you also do a great job with trying to retain these players through something called the 2-and-2 Challenge. Can you talk just a little bit about what that is and how successful that's been?
So what the 2-and-2 Challenge is that over time, our plan along with this department we wanted to find what youth associations are currently doing out in the field and repurpose those ideas and help share them with everyone else that's out there with associations that want to grow their program. And as it went along, we built a lot of programs and tools like Try Hockey for Free Day and what we call Welcome Back Week. And we just had a lot of tools and we wanted to streamline it and give associations an easy-to-follow roadmap to growth that helps them maximize their retention, maximize the acquisition of players, and helps maximize how many of those new kids are converted into actual youth hockey players. So we put it under our 2-and-2 Challenge name. Now, the 2-and-2 Challenge name comes from the goals we put forth for every youth association. We didn't want to put out a percentage, tell the group to grow by 10%. What's 10% of a kid? We wanted to grow, but have an attainable goal, whether you have a very small association or a very large association. So we ask associations every year to go out and get 2 more new kids than they had in the previous year in their new column and keep 2 more kids than they had in the year before. And what happened is we went out, no one said, hey, Kevin, you're the membership development guy. They would say, hey, you're that 2-and-2 guy. And so it just seemed to stick. So how do we hit those 2-and-2 Challenge goals? We provide you with that roadmap following our national programs and using our tools along the way to hit that point. So we last year we had just under 300 associations do the 2-and-2 Challenge. It was the first year we had it as a comprehensive growth program. This is our second year, and we're getting close to deadline and marching close to we're getting pretty close to our goal of 500 associations. They'll participate. And essentially, when an association signs up for the 2-and-2 Challenge, at the very basic, they commit to doing our retention program, which is Welcome Back Week. That retention program is fairly easy. What we found is that associations that had the best retention did so by just doing personal phone calls out to families, inviting them back to youth hockey for another year. And I think what we forget is a parent of a 5, 6, 7-year-old, they're not hockey parents yet. They've been a part of hockey maybe a season or two, but you know, for instance, hockey programs are starting right now. I know it's 94 degrees outside as we speak. I'm not thinking about putting my kid in a winter sport, so we can't expect them to think about that. So personal invitation really helps get them organized. They love youth hockey. They just need some help getting their ducks in a row, to say. So what we do is we do a series of emails. We do pre-recorded calls from some of our Olympians. Some NHL players have come forward to do a 30-second message reminding parents to come back to the rink. And then in a couple of weeks during our Welcome Back Week, we'll provide all the associations with a list of all the kids that still need a call that skated with them last year, in hopes that they'll reach out and invite them back for another season, which is goes along with their ADM to why we've had such good retention growth. The next commitment that an association would make by doing the Tune Through Challenge is to doing both Try Hockey for Free days, so the November 2nd and the March 1st. And for those days, we provide associations with everything they need, the how-to off the ice, the how-to on the ice, and all the marketing plans and tools to help them along the way. And we give them jerseys and promotional tools to make it even easier on them. And then the final piece is that we ask associations that commit to the Tune to hold some sort of low-cost, low-commitment transition program, we call it, after the November Try Hockey Day. What we found is that an association on average gets over 30 new kids at a Try Hockey event, but there was no plan to help get people into their programs. Some people didn't offer anything and assumed once that kid touched the ice, they had a hockey player. And some people were coming to parents saying, hey, you can join our program, and it's, you know, the next 5 months and pretty large bills. So you can imagine if you're just trying youth hockey and your kid got through a 45-minute hour trial of hockey and then they got hit up with a huge commitment, huge cost, you're probably less likely to join. So we just ask them along the way to put something short, 6, 8, 12 weeks, as low cost as possible, to give that, now they've had a taste of Try Hockey, give that baby step where they can get their feet a little more wet and try and work them into our programs easily instead of forcing them into a program that they're not quite sure they're ready for yet. And as an added bonus for our 2-2 Challenge programs is that this year, for the first time ever, any of the kids that participate in one of our Try Hockey for Free sites in November 2nd, we provided with a code to get a free USA Hockey membership. So now we've tried to do our part to make it as low cost and still help our participating associations have all the benefits of USA Hockey coverage for their new little members. So in a nutshell, that's the 2-2 Challenge. It is the Welcome Back Week retention, the 2 Try Hockeys for acquisition, and a conversion program. And afterwards, what we do is we recognize all the associations as being one of our 2-2 Challenge clubs and rewarding them with free sets of starter equipment. Now, clubs, if they want to go beyond that, there's some easier pieces that they can do that a lot of clubs are already doing in their everyday workings of a youth association, and it gets them up to 8 sets of equipment and a dozen sticks. So it's actually pretty easy. You know, just this past week, we had distributed all the equipment from the people that had completed the 2-2 Challenge last year, and I think we sent out close to 2,800 sets of One Goal equipment. People were getting anywhere from 4 to 12 sets, so I think we had 3 full semis of equipment drop off, full sets of equipment for people to use.
Wow, that's great. So that's part of the One Goal program that basically provides these starter sets of equipment, which is basically everything but skates, if I'm not mistaken, right?
So the sets are, yeah, it's everything but skates and a stick. The bag, helmet, shoulder pads, elbow pads, gloves, pants, and shin pads, and a bag in 2 different sizes that fit 8 and under kids that associations can purchase to be able to lend out or rent out to families. And the sets cost about $76 each. And they're not meant for resale. And that's been a huge part of what's helped our growth the past 5 years. You know, over the last 5 years, we have over 40,000 of these sets out there in the field that people have purchased or earned through programs like this.
Well, you know, Kevin, to wrap it up, and I know you've kind of touched upon this a couple of times, and that is we're coming up on the 2014 Olympic Winter Games, which will be in Sochi, Russia, and obviously the U.S. will put competitive teams on the ice in both for men's and women's, not to mention sled hockey, which is at the Paralympics afterwards. We all know that the Olympics in Vancouver in 2010 were a huge success, the U.S. winning a silver medal and playing Canada in front of a record television audience. How do you guys look at the upcoming Olympics and the interest that will be generated from it, and then you try to use that to help grow the game even more than what you're doing already?
What we found is that our biggest motivator for new players entering the game is the Olympic Games. So every 4 years, that next year after the Olympics, we have a huge jump in new players. And our largest jump came after the last Olympics. You know, it's funny because after the last games, there was almost 30 million people watching that gold medal game. And to put that in perspective, that was the most watched hockey game in 30 years. So not since the 1980 Olympics, was there that many people? And I know, you know, the NHL is enjoying great ratings too, and I know that's like an 8-10 million mark. So to think that almost 30 million is watching hockey, there's a lot of people interested in the game. So, you know, last time around, we were still at that stage where we were doing regional tri-hockeys. And I had a regional tri-hockey in the Carolinas and another one in Florida. And we had more kids come tri-hockey on that day than they had total new kids in our entire state the previous year. Because people were just really excited. So we're excited to be able to put forth a national event to really capitalize on and everyone that watched the Olympics. And they said, I want to do this. You know, what's great is NBC is going to help promote kids getting involved in winter sports. And so what will happen throughout the Olympic Games, they'll be pumping up on their website, hey, go to this site on NBC, you know, sports.com to learn more about the winter sports, how you can get involved. And the great part is if they click ice hockey, it's going to go right to our website, tryhockeyforfree.com, and to be able to look and say, hey, here's one of 500 locations across the country where I can go locally and try hockey for myself in less than a week and get on the ice. So between that and NBC's help and what we saw from the last Olympics, we're looking to try and put some record numbers of USA Hockey participation on the board.
Wow, that's fantastic. So one more time, if you're a parent and you're interested in getting your kid involved in hockey and you don't know where the closest rink is, you don't know where to buy equipment or any of that kind of stuff, what's an easy place, one-stop shop, so to speak, that someone can go to learn sure. even where to make that first step?
Probably the best spot is comeplayyouthhockey.com. So comeplayyouthhockey.com is kind of our guidebook for new parents to learn, you know, what they should know about equipment, what makes youth hockey so great, and how to get started. It's our landing page for it all. And then if you just wanted to try and look to sign up and give it a try with your kid on November 2nd or March 1st, you can go to tryhockeyforfree.com. And it's pretty easy. There's a little map. You put in your zip code, and it's going to show you all the spots around you that you can go to, and you can register right there and be ready to go.
Well, hey, you know, you guys are doing a lot of great stuff along with all the ADM regional managers and just local youth hockey associations around the country. It's a great team effort. So thanks for all that you're doing for hockey, and thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's a lot of fun.
And thanks again for everybody for tuning in, and hopefully you'll come back again for another USA Hockey Magazine podcast.